You will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
To the downside of venture capital.
Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Don't want to wait until you jump off the cliff to grab a parachute.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host. Rob Artigo here again, your guest host for this edition of the Tough Things First podcast. I'm a writer and investigator in California. Being invited back is always a pleasure, Ray.
Well, good to be with you again, Rob. It's always fun to have you on the program.
We appear to be transitioning from like a mass employed service sector economy to a thinner employed service sector economy, which is more dominated by artificial intelligence and robotics. Is that that's the way I see it. And is that a fair assessment of what's going on, the trends you're seeing?
Well, it's going to be, you know, that it's been that way for since the Industrial Revolution. So we're not talking about something that's happened in the last 20 years. We're talking about something that's been going on for over 100 years.
Is it speeding up? I mean, are we seeing a quickening in that area?
Well, I don't know if it's speeding up per se. It's certainly continuing to accelerate. You know, if I just look at my lifetime and what, you know, has come about, you know, we're having to deal with more and more things. And then to do that, we innovate and create things to help us do it, like the computer. For example, has, you know, personal computer actually has given us much more capability and allow us to be more productive than we were in the past. So, you know, I mean, where people worked longer hours, you know, as a farmer, my parents were in agriculture, you know, they work long hours because there was so much they had to get done in a day, you know, whether it be milking the cows or feeding the cows or raising the feed for them, you know, all that had to be done in a timely way. And you couldn't just say, well, I just can't do that and say, I'll just shorten my day. And so I can have more time to go off and have fun or be with the family. So, you know, 18-hour days were not unusual. In that time period, you know, the farmers used to get up at, you know, like 4 a.m. And then they didn't retire until, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock at night. So, I mean, they barely got in 6 or 8 hours sleep, and there was no time as you would for doing, you know, the fun things of going to ball games or just enjoying an evening with your family. You know, I think the average worker today probably puts in, you know, 8 hours, maybe not even that, maybe 7.5 hours. And that's, you know, half the time that my parents and grandparents put in to provide a living for their family. So, you know, we've in order to get more done and have more free time, we've had to move to a more automated capability, whether it be computers or some other form of artificial intelligence, such as these robots now that will vacuum your house and clean your walls and do your lawn, mow your lawn, and you know, with the automatic sprinkling systems that now, you know, sense everything, the moisture in the ground to the amount of sunshine required, the moving of the sun from here to there, you know, that actually is made it a lot easier, nicer for all of us. So we all tend to try to, you know, they say the shortest distance between two lines between two points is a straight line. So we're all trying to straighten the line out. So we're trying to get more time to do other things. And those other things, for example, if we didn't have time to go watch a football game, then the football industry would go down the tubes. So, you know, because that we've had more free time, has created more jobs, more opportunities for these recreational things, whether it be video games or whatever else, to allow us then to expand the economy, even though individually we're working fewer hours a day. Does that make sense, Rob?
It does. And the farm analogy makes a great deal of sense in the context of, you know, what we're talking about here. what I wonder about is, as we transition, to, and I think, you know, you had mentioned once to me before we started the conversation, before we started recording, about the idea of flipping burgers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a person flipping burgers versus the machine flipping burgers. Do we run into a situation where, I think I'll hold on to the family farm idea for a second here and say, yeah, machines come in and make it easier for those farmers to get things done. But what happens when somebody buys the farm, it's a corporation, and there's nobody working on it? It's all machines. And do we have any moral obligation to make sure that people still have a value and they contribute and are able to earn a living?
Well, you know, the water will seek its own level. So we'll find ways to use our time, either in expanding our farm or if in the case of the automatically flipping burgers, we will find other things for them to do. You know, so unemployment is at an all-time low, at least as low as I can remember. And we did that by just increasing the economy. And so what happens is that depending upon the economic structure of the particular country, it'll increase or decrease in its demand for labor. So what we, if we got a decent economy, then there'd be more demand for the product, whether it be flipping a burger by hand or flipping it with a machine. And so, you know, we're trying to find ways to actually improve the economy, not make it worse. And certainly if you made everybody unemployed or because you do everything by a machine, then you've moved a little faster than you can absorb it. So what we want to do is balance it so that we don't end up through automation putting more people out of work than we can employ. So we want to keep the employment high and not low. You know, there's natural consequences when we do. We're either going to pay for it through unemployment insurance or otherwise. So, you know, there is a balancing act that we have to do. Now, in the thinner and thicker employment situations, thicker is when you have a lot of manufacturing people, because that takes a lot more people than thinner, meaning you if you were automate, you know, whether it be, you know, the assembly of a vehicle or flipping a burger or whatever, the more automation you do, the more efficient you can produce a particular product and even make it higher quality. And so the higher the quality and the more efficient you can do it is an advantage. And presuming that you can still keep employment at the right level so that people can still provide for their families. But as I mentioned earlier, that, you know, my grandparents and, you know, even my father, but more so my grandparents, you know, 12, 14 hour days was norm. And now it's more like 7 to 8 hours is norm. So, you know, we were employing fewer people back in the 14 hour days than we do in the 7 hour days. So, you know, we have to, there's some trade-offs. You have to be able to improve the efficiency of what you're doing and provide more free time. Now, how much free time do we need? I don't know that we need, you know, 12, 14 hours of free time a day. You know, I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with a, you know, 6 to 8 hour workday. You know, any more time off than that, idleness is a devil's workshop, as they say. So too much idle time means we're going to be wasting time. So, and I think there's a certain amount of time we need just to be productive and do productive things rather than just, having this free time, as they say.
It sounds, Ray, like you were talking about this natural balancing effect that occurs. I would imagine that since businesses are in the business of making money, companies often make products and sell those to the public. If they go out and create, if all the businesses are using robots to make their products and people aren't employed, there's nobody to buy the product.
Yeah.
So that there just, it just goes to exactly what you were saying.
It's a balancing act. That's what we, obviously we don't want to produce more than we can consume. And so, you know, there's that supply demand curve in economics that we all have to adhere to. So if you increase the supply and there's not the demand for it, then of course you're going to be out of balance economically. So water seeks its own level, and same thing with supply and demand. As demand increases, then supply will increase. As demand drops off, supply will drop off. And so what we just be, even if it's machines that are doing the production, you'll just put your machines down. In other words, you'll just shut your machines off.
Well, thank you again, Ray. I appreciate it. The listeners can definitely join the conversation at toughthingsfirst.com. There's a wealth of information there. We can accept your questions and comments. They're always welcome. And also, if you'd like to, pitch some ideas, ask some questions of Ray, and we can get him on the podcast here, we'll definitely do that. Follow Ray Zinn on Twitter and on Facebook and LinkedIn. And of course, get the text, Ray's book, Tough Things First. And of course, the new one, The Zen of Zen. Thanks again, Ray.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate being with you again.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.